Crane wasn't angry, just rueful because he'd come so close. The night before, the toothy redhead on TV in Albany had set the colored balls bouncing, and when they stopped, he was one goddamn digit away from winning $4.7 million. A six instead of a seven, and he'd have hit the jackpot. But hell, if he'd won, what would he have done with it? A new car, maybe? Have the roof fixed? Give some to the kids. Maybe put it in a trust for when they grew up. At their age, they didn't have much time for a grandfather. He should spoil them more. If he gave them the money, it might make him seem pretty cool. What else? He was content with what he already had. The millions wouldn't bring Helen back. The hell with it. Money didn't come close to the pleasure of a day in the mountains. Even so, 12 hours later, it was still in his mind as he trudged slowly up the slopes toward a spot on the bank of a stream where he planned to sit and wait, shrouded in the noise of tumbling water. He knew where the deer moved. He'd carried a gun in these woods since boyhood. Halfway to his goal, Crane paused to catch his breath and look around. At their peaks, the mountains were bald with snow. But here, on the lower levels beneath the trees, the ground was still brown and crisp with leaves. Cloud cover from the west held back the coming bleakness. There was only a light breeze to carry the smell of pine and maple and of vegetation beginning to rot. Crane wore high boots, heavy, wide-wale corduroy pants, and a red woolen lumber jacket with his state license pinned on the back. His thick gray hair was uncovered. He carried the lever-action Winchester mounted with a Zeiss scope that he had bought years ago on a trip out west with Helen before her last time in the hospital. In his deep pockets were a bottle of branch water, the sandwiches he had prepared the night before, and a paperback he would read while waiting for a buck to come to him. He was a man who liked to occupy himself, even when he was waiting, and he was not eager to kill. It was pleasure enough to be out in the clean, pungent air. Crane was satisfied that he had lived an honorable and useful life, but too many of his working hours had been spent in confinement, first obeying orders, then issuing them. Now, with nobody to call master, no responsibilities beyond himself, he could enjoy life as he wished. He looked down through the black branches at a small lake cupped in the valley below. His eyes ranged the hillside, and he thought he caught movement where he had climbed earlier. Maybe a deer. More likely, another hunter. Ever since he had left the road, he had felt the presence of other men with guns. It was the season. Men from the cities would blast away at anything that moved, and the hospitals and morgues would receive their annual harvest of stupidity. He found the stream, busy now with recent rains, and settled with his back against a low, mossy rock, his weapon across his lap. For a while, he stared around, taking in the clearing across the water, the grassy aisle that escorted the stream down the hill through the trees. When it was all imprinted on his mind, so that he'd be able to bring up his gun and, in seconds, aim at an intruding animal, he took out his book and began to read about a Frenchman's travels in Arabia. They came on him silently, although the noise of the water would have covered any sounds of approach. One minute, he was engrossed in his paperback. The next, he was conscious of them bunched around him. He looked up and lowered the book. His hands went to grip his weapon. There were three of them, all in hunting clothes, all carrying guns. They wore bizarrely patterned ski masks that left visible only the liquid glint of their eyes and the shape of their mouths. They all wore gloves.